Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Harris, coming back to you once again. We're here this evening doing a special show about a real good topic that I think you'll find very interesting. I believe a lot of people may know, may not know, but you're going to know tonight what is really going on here in Mississippi, Fresno. We coming live right now from Fresno, California. Those of you know that I call it Mississippi, Fresno. A lot of things are going on here that should not have been going on, and it's still going on here in Fresno. But we just want to give a shout out to all of the freedom fighters across the world who's doing great, great work. I'm proud of you. Hold the front line. We trying to make things better right now for our community. We have a lot of people right now who are very complacent in the way things are right now in our community. I'm going to be showing you a video here a little later in regards to Mississippi, Fresno. Many of you know I'm an international civil rights leader. I do a lot of heavy lifting. I have colleagues that work with me, not just here in Fresno, but across the country. One of the things that I will say that I'm proud about myself is that I've never sold out my community. Never. Let me say that again. I have never, ever sold out my community here locally, and never ever have sold my community out nationally or internationally. I think that, you know, our ancestors, we'll say happy Juneteenth before I go any further. Happy Juneteenth. But to me, there's a lot of manipulation that's going on with the Juneteenth. First of all, we should not have been slaves in the first place. Let me start right there. We shouldn't have been slaves in the first place. So I kind of get it and I don't get it, about the celebration piece, about, you know, really what are we celebrating? Are we celebrating that we're not slaves anymore? I mean, really, are we? Or are we celebrating that, because, you know, the way I look at it, slavery is still here. It's just done in a different fashion. It's the same old dance and a different melody. I was talking to one of my colleagues today, and she was like very upset. And she said, Pastor Harris, I just don't understand why we're celebrating something that we shouldn't have been in the first place. And I really had to listen to her really understand, you know, respectfully, what she was saying. And, you know, I'm a good listener. You know, I really listen to people because I believe that everybody has their own story. I believe that everybody has a voice. I don't care if you're a child. I don't care if you're a woman, man, whatever, dog, cat, whatever. It doesn't matter. If something is bothering you, hey, go over there in the front. If there's something that is bothering you, I feel that you have a right to be able to voice your opinion. We also have to understand that in each city across the country, that racism is embedded. Jim Crow is still alive, flying around here in America. We have to understand the slave codes are still on the books. The U.S. Constitution that was placed here in America, black folks weren't at the table to decide not one iota anything. The U.S. Constitution that's placed in front of us today, United States, would say United Snakes of America, or, you know, just to be keep it political correct, United States of America, you will have to understand that the U.S. Constitution was not created for the benefit of black people. It was created against us. And that's why when we look at the U.S. Constitution, it had to be amended. It had to be changed for people who was already human beings, for people who was already should have been treated with dignity and respect. So, you know, I heard my colleague today and she said, you know, I just don't understand why we're celebrating something that should have been given to us in the first place. She spoke to me about what went on in City Hall today in Fresno, California, how they raised the flag. And I'm going to get into my show, but I think this, you know, her calling me this evening, I think is something that you all should hear the fundamental piece. If you go to my Facebook, you will see that there are some different posts that I posted today, some different statements. And the statements are just for you to do critical thinking, right? I'm not writing posts for you to, oh, I'm going to agree with Dr. Harris, blah, blah, blah. I really care 2 cents, you know, what anybody believe at this point, because all I know is here in Fresno, California, we're the last hired and the first fired. All I know here in Fresno, California, there's black people who have great work ethic, great resumes, great opportunities to help bring something to the table to help our community and the black community. But the problem is that we have black people here that needs jobs, need opportunity, and the power structure will not hire them. The power structure, and when I say power structure, I'm talking about Fresno Unified, I'm talking about City of Fresno, I'm talking about Fresno County Board of Supervisors, I'm talking about police. But, you know, we black people cannot get hired, you know, equally as people unless they sell out their community. This city here would rather hire someone in another state, pay them a traveling package to come to Fresno, while we have people here in Fresno, good people who know the community, good people who understand the community. But you have to understand the politics of it. You know, it's better to hire somebody from another state, because if they don't do what they tell them to do, it's a long way home. So it's easy to manipulate black people right now because and I'm going to get to the show, but I'm just kind of giving a base of the show tonight, because the show tonight, let me just say it real quick, is about Fresno, California being the number 4 city, racist city to live in America. And I'm going to play the video for you at real quick here soon, because I want to get into the show. I have my colleague, Allen Reed, who is my mentor, who has mentored me over the years. But I think it's important that I stand up for those ones, those black men and those black women that's here that love their community but yet can't get an opportunity to get a job here in Fresno, California, and then make them move to another city, right? So the power structure can keep stuff status quo. Now, all of you know that I'm an international civil rights leader. I speak truth to power. So I don't worry about, you know, me getting fired and all this type of stuff. I speak truth to power. I say and I speak for my people. I love my people. I'll die for my people. And so we're just going to have a conversation tonight about who is Fresno? What is Fresno? Are black people being treated fairly here? We're going to talk about redlining. What does redlining mean here in Mississippi, Fresno? My grandma came here and my family came here from Arkansas in the 50s. My grandma fought Darling Enterprise. My grandpa fought Darling Enterprise. My auntie, Precious Widow, fought Darling Enterprise that cooked dead animals right here in West Fresno and still operating today. The city of Fresno will not close them down. The Air Board will not close them down. So we have to smell dead animals every day, including myself. And statistically, it says that those who live in West Fresno have a 20-year lifespan living less, 20 years less than those living up in North Fresno. So politically, you could see that the political monster here in this city. When we look at West Fresno, my cousin Sean here from Colorado, he was raised here. He in Colorado. He could come back right now and just be just dumbfounded to say, you mean to tell me they haven't put a building here, a business here, a business there? But you know what? Here's what I told one of my colleagues today. I said, what's interesting is that we have no more black businesses in West Fresno. So one will say, well, you know, Harris, West Fresno is not it's not all black, you know, like it used to be. You know, we have Latinos there, and the census says that the Latinos are the majority. Listen, I get all of that. Historically, Edison High School is a historical black school. West Fresno, historical black community. Now, when you start trying to come and wipe out our history, wipe out monuments that means a lot to us, changing street names that means a lot to us, you're darn right we're going to have a problem with it. And so, you know, it's all the conveniency stores right now owned by non-black people. All the gas stations are owned by non-black people. And, you know, and I'm not upset at those folk who, because I believe that they're trying to make a living. You know, I know my cousin, remember the two-way fruit stand that was on California Street. The two-way fruit stand was a place that sold vegetables to the community. Right now, they done changed the name. They done moved it across from Countrywide. And when you go in there now, you will see that they done took all the vegetables out, and now there's nothing but liquor all in the store. And so these are the problems, the cancer that we have in our community right now. Liquor stores 2 minutes from each other. You know, what does liquor bring? But, you know, I'm going to get into the show. I'll save all that for another day. But what I want to do is, before I bring my colleague on, because I want to show and let me say this here also, I'm looking for it right now, that we have nobody on this Fresno City Council that's black. We have no black on the Board of Supervisors. And I'm talking about to speak for the interests of black people, okay? We have Keisha Thomas that's on the Fresno Unified School Board. A lot of people always ask me, what is she doing for black people? And I really can't answer that. You have to ask her. We have Tap Scotch, who is on the Fresno County Board of Supervisors. I'm always asked, well, what is she doing for black people? And I said, well, I can't answer that. You need to talk to her. But when you talk to these politicians that's black, the historical answer you would get is that I'm for all people. I'm from all people. Like, we're dumb. They don't understand it. We're asking, what are you doing for black people? And so when you start talking intentionally about black people, people start backpedaling. People start like, oh, well, wait a minute, I just can't do anything for black people. But all other ethnics are doing for their ethnic. So what I'm going to do right now is we're going to go ahead, and that's not even to talk about the Paul Fresno Police Department. That's a whole other show. Right? But what I'm going to do is I'm going to speed this up because I don't want to go through all of this because we're on the show for 1 hour. Or maybe I should play it. So give us so I'm gonna go ahead and play it. Until we get to Fresno. Here we go, Mississippi. Mississippi. Okay, we're going to stop right there because we're only on the air for an hour. I'm going to go ahead and go to the board. Just want to let you know that many of you know Alan Autry, who played in the heat of the night. He was our mayor for 8 years. He ran on the slogan, Tales of Two Cities. The Tales of Two Cities. That's West Fresno, Southwest Fresno, West Fresno, and North Fresno, which West Fresno is the tail. So want to give some foundation of this conversation tonight. He also said, when I was on a radio show with him, he also said that the black community here in Fresno is all bark and no bite. Other words, you just flapping your gums and you have no teeth. So there's really zero respect for black people here, especially progressive black people. There's zero respect for those of us who are progressive, that's black. We have a lot of sellout house Negroes, black Negroes that are here. So we got to go ahead and go to the board. This is my mentor, my colleague here, Ms. Aline Reed. She's the former president of the West Fresno Democratic Club. She has been in here in West Fresno all her life, a mother. May she rest in peace. She, I believe it was 3 years ago, if I'm correct, that she passed away. She went with me to the, myself, Maria, and Aline, to the Poor People's Campaign in Sacramento, California, when we did a civil disobedience in the Capitol. So this is nothing new to us here. What is new is that we continue to get black folks not to come together as people and a culture of people to stand for the masses of black people, not individual. So we're going to go ahead and go to the show, to the lines here, 5172. Welcome to Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. You have the floor.
Hey, Rev, and thank you for doing this show on Juneteenth. You know, I just got finished watching CNN, the Juneteenth celebration they had down there in Los Angeles, and it was all about the music and the dancing. They had HBCU step groups on there and all of that. And while I'm happy that we've got Juneteenth, I want the listeners of your show to remember that while we have Juneteenth, we are still in the midst of a struggle for black liberation and freedom. We have too many of us black folks that are still incarcerated, many unjustly. We have too many black folks that are homeless, some of them veterans. We have too many black children that are being shuffled from school to prison. And we have too much disparity in jobs that you talked about before. So while Juneteenth is a good time to talk about these things, and we're talking specifically about Fresno, I'm so happy that you're putting a spotlight on this, because it's easy for people to look at the Juneteenth celebration we had today and say, well, everything is fine. You know, they had a big celebration. They had black vendors out there. They had, you know, music and hip-hop groups and all that. And where did all this happen? None of it happened in West Fresno, where Juneteenth in Fresno was born. All of this happened at Valdez Hall. It happened at Woodward Park. It happened at the Cultural Arts Park. It did not happen in a historically black neighborhood. And so my question is, why is that? Why couldn't we celebrate Juneteenth in our own neighborhood where it belongs?
You know, I really
hope somebody calls in and answers that question.
Well, you know, one of the things is that our ancestors, your mother, and I'd like for you to talk about the redlining, because we're only going until 9 o'clock tonight. I'll be doing another show this week in regards to this. I know Brother Tony comes on tomorrow. and we want to support his show. I'll be coming back on Wednesday, probably the rest of the week, to talk about this. But can you talk about the redlining real quick before I go in?
Sure. I mean, historically, redlining is when people can't get goods or services, insurance or health care or whatever based on where they live. They're not offered credit. In my family's case, my mom and dad came to Fresno in 1948, lived in a boarding house, bought property in Southwest Fresno because that's the only place they were allowed to buy property. And a lot of land in Fresno and a lot of other cities have covenants that you cannot sell to blacks, you cannot sell to Jews, you cannot sell to Mexicans, you cannot sell to anybody who was not Caucasian. And so my parents, my dad had a GI loan. He was in the U.S. Navy in World War II. They had to travel all the way to Merced to this little mortgage place called Newton Mortgage in order to get a mortgage to buy the property here in West Fresno. And so redlining basically gathers people of color all in one space, and then they are subjected to, in the case of West Fresno, all the things that you talked about earlier in the show, the environmental racism, the dead animal spills from the rendering plants, and the increased bad air quality. And people need to understand that right now, I mean, there was a push to limit industrial facilities in West Fresno, and now the city council wants to change that, and they want to re-industrialize 60 acres out here at South Elm and Annadale to kill us quicker. You already laid out that we have a 20-year less lifespan here in West Fresno. So what does that say about the city council, that they're cool with putting these facilities back out here and killing us quicker? But redlining is a discriminatory practice where you could only buy land in certain areas, and that is what happened to a lot of the people of my parents' generation and pre-World War II generation here in Fresno. That's what redlining did to us. And then, and the other book part of that, the bookend of that, Rev, is that now they want it back. The powers that be want the land back, so they're trying to gentrify us out. They're killing us with bad air quality, and they are trying to go after older homes so that they can buy them cheap and flip them. So that's what redlining has done to West Fresno, in my opinion.
So once again, we have my very own colleague, Aline Reed, who is a community leader, mentor of myself. We played a video, Top 10 Racist Towns. Fresno, California is number 4. Out of the 10 towns across America. One of the things that I want to say real quick, because we're only going for an hour. I'll be back on Wednesday. I'll post the show tomorrow. I wrote some things on my Facebook wall today, and I just want to read them. And one of them says, black people can show up for entertainment, but cannot show up for the hijacking of gentrification of West Fresno. The next was, I wonder why we have no black men or women on the Fresno City Council that has black people's best interests. Let me say that again. I wonder why we have no black men or women on the Fresno City Council that has black people's best interest. Now, I want to say that again, because, you know, everybody that's on the city council, whether ethnic they are, background they come from, they're going to be for their people first. And that's what's been going on here in Fresno. Then I wrote another post. I said, I was thinking Fresno has no corner stores, no tire shops, no clinics. So you can go on my Facebook, and I wrote one more. It says, I understand black people coming together to celebrate our history, but do not understand why. I said, but let me read that. I understand black people's coming together to celebrate our history, but do not understand why we cannot come together to build black political power. What are your thoughts about that, Ali?
Well, you know, my thoughts are this. It's easier to not think about the hard stuff. It's easier to just have a good time. It's easier to take the easy route. But in the long run, it's our children and our grandchildren that is going to pay for that. And I really think that we can do better. And the truth of the matter is, Rev, if our parents and our grandparents hadn't done the things that they had done in Fresno, we wouldn't even be here now. West Fresno would have been decimated a long time ago, and we wouldn't have even had the businesses that we did have. And we used to have over 100 black businesses in West Fresno. So it behooves us to step up and represent. Now, I don't know what it's going to take for us to get viable black candidates. And by viable, I mean people who are willing to step up. I'm not talking about the most popular or the most best liked. I'm talking about people of courage, people of character and integrity who will fight for black people as well as everybody else. So that's where I'm coming from on that, Rev.
Tell them to be quiet, please.
Well, one of the things, Aline, is, you know, the heavy lifting that we have done over the years here, it seems to me that we're not, and I'm talking about black peoples right now, we're not concerned about the legacy that your mother, my grandmother, my grandfather that came out here, Black Fresno is not concerned about the legacy that
right.
My grandma, your mother, my grandfather, Miser Keels, Deacon Foster, and the list can go on. And these are people who have crossed over to the other side. And it seems to me, because I've been doing civil rights for 40 years, and I speak truth to power. Don't nobody pay my bills. I don't owe nobody nothing. At the end of the year, the IRS, the police department don't control me. I haven't ever sold out my community. But it seems that instead of black peoples in Fresno coming together in one unit and demand equality from all four corners of this Mississippi town. We're more concerned about pleasing, getting awards. We're not concerned about the political machine that we can build for our community, like building for their community. I'm not upset at other ethnics building for their, that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to create businesses. They're supposed to, you know, Chris, I'm not upset at that. I'm concerned that black Fresnoans is not concerned about an economic peace. Now, we understand, and rightly to say, that the power structure handpicked Negroes.
Right. That's it right there.
House Negroes to paint an image that Fresno is this, you know, Mayberry
right.
town. Andy Griffin town, because it is a cowboy town, if you don't believe it or not. It is a cowboy town.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, we are self-destructing as a people, because when we look at Black Wall Street that was created in 1921, you will have to understand that black people during that time came together and
right.
put their money and their resources together to mm-hmm. be able to create something for their community.
Well,
but we
yeah.
don't do that here in Fresno. We don't do that here in Fresno.
No, because some people believe that the hype of integration. And I know that part of Black Wall Street was the fact that, you know, segregation made it where we had to work together to survive. And we survived too well. And that's why Black Wall Street had to be destroyed by racist white people. But when integration started happening and people could move off the west side, it's like you were saying the other day when we had a conversation about this, Reverend Harris, it's okay to live in any part of Fresno you want to. But when you get ready to have your car serviced, when you get ready to have your hair done, or you get ready to buy some good barbecue, come back to your home base, which would be West Fresno, but there's nothing here. There's nothing here, and that's a damn shame. And the other thing I want to say is that the people who are being bought off by the power structure in Fresno, there is going to be a reckoning, because they are only going to want to work with you as long as they can control you. And that's just the way that is.
So basically, whoever's paying the money controls the narrative.
That's right. That's it, exactly.
And you know, everyone, we are here today to talk about Fresno is number four in the nation. The 10 worst city to live in the nation is Fresno, California, Mississippi, Fresno. And so this, you can go to my Facebook right now and see the video for yourself. Now, so the question will become that I would argue is, do we still have Ku Klux Klan here in the San Joaquin Valley? Do we still have Ku Klux Klan that's living in Colas, California? Do we still have Ku Klux Klan living in Madera, California? Now, if you, there's a website, I can't think of the name right now. On the tip of my tongue, I can't think of it. Is it the Probably Law Center? It might be that one. Don't quote me.
Oh, Southern Poverty Law Center.
Mm-hmm. Southern Poverty Law Center. They have identified all of the racist Ku Klux Klan groups that are here in the San Joaquin Valley. Because, listen, let me tell everybody something right now, in case you don't know, before you leave this earth, where police departments came from. They came from slavery. They had a slavery badge that they went out and catch runaway slaves. And that got integrated into the American ideology and philosophy to call them police departments. I believe, and correct me, Alain, if I'm wrong or right, because it's been a long day for me, that it wasn't until the 60s when Fresno had its first black police officer. Am I right about that? Am I wrong about that?
That's right. That was Jack Kelly, I believe.
Jack Kelly.
That was in
the 1960s when Jack Kelly became the first. See, it's all with us, it's always a first. First black fire chief, first black police officer. But I want to say this to our listening audience, because I know a lot of y'all don't agree with me, and I'm okay with that. But if you do not do for yourself and do for yourself or be a slave, stop being manipulated by this power structure here in this city and come together as a people and come up with a black agenda. Because trust me, I'm telling you right now, every other ethnic got their own agenda for their own people. But for us, it is so difficult for us to work together as people. Now, we're not saying that. We love everybody. But charity starts at home.
That's right.
And other ethnics will tell you
that. That's right.
And I'm going to tell you what I told my congregation last Sunday. Love yourself first before you start loving someone else. Because if anybody find out that you're loving them first and you don't love yourself, they are not going to have respect for you. Not going to have respect. We don't even have a black tire shop. Many cars as black folk have in this city, we can't even come together and say, hey, who know how to do bookkeeping? Hey, who know how to do, let's get some of these young people and teach them how to take a tire off a car. You don't need a bachelor's degree and a master's degree and a doctor degree to learn how to take a tire off and patch it and make some money. See, we are so segregated, and we're on this dumb stuff right now where we can be creating businesses for our people, create businesses for our children. And see, and when you come to my ministry, you better understand that we do for self and we're not going to be a slave. And so when you look at this video, right, you will see, and look up redlining. For those of you who just came on, we thank you for coming to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. Here I will be back on Wednesday. We ask you to listen to Brother Tony, who is a host of what show, Sister Eileen?
It's called West Side Visions, and both he and I are both, I'm a co-host on that show as well. So thank you very much for pleasuring West Side Visions with Tony Bullock and Eileen Reed.
West Side Vision tomorrow, I ask you to tune in. Listen to our brother. He's throwing it down as the host and co-host, Sister Eileen. But I just came tonight just to tell all of you right now, don't get caught up in the hype, okay? Don't get caught up in just this entertainment stuff, okay? Don't do that. Come up. Try to come up. Get with some progressive people, with some progressive minds, and do for your people. Because that's what everybody else is doing in this city. Don't be a person that's going to sit here and all you're concerned about is getting a goddamn plaque or a piece of paper or a proclamation from those downtown all around that don't care nothing about us. They got everything. We ain't got nothing. Where's our Black Wall Street in Fresno? Can anybody please tell me that? Can anybody please tell me where a black conveniency store is that I can go to buy some potato chips or some water or some bubble gum? Can you please tell me where? Maybe there's one. Yeah. I don't know.
The newer black businesses that I have seen in Fresno, several of them are not even in Southwest Fresno or in West Fresno. They are, you know, on Blackstone and Shaw, or they are on Clovis, you know, Shaw going towards Clovis Avenue. They're not even over here. So what does that say about the black dollar? You know, it's difficult. And I'm really hoping that the Black Chamber of Commerce, we do have one, a Black Chamber of Commerce, is going to address some of this about a black agenda, a monetary black agenda for Fresno.
Yeah.
You know, and
no, you're right. And I think our Black Chamber of Commerce is, from what I see, is trying to do that. And there's some hiccups here and there that I hear from other people. Nothing is perfect. But at the same time, we have to understand, Sister Eileen, that they, even the Black Chamber of Commerce, can't speak like I speak, right? Because, you know, they may be worried about their grant being taken, or they may be worried about, oh, we may not get the funding for this. But listen, man, I speak truth to power, and I say it like it is. If it's black, it's black. If it's white, it's white. If it's blue, it's blue. If it's a duck, it quack like a duck, walk like a duck. I'm going to call it a duck, period. Okay? And that's the type of black men that our ancestors were. Miser Teal, Deacon Foster, they called it out for what it is. And we have to get back to that and come up with a black agenda. And you start off, I'm telling everybody right now, we got all these churches around this place, and I know there'll be other churches that if we was to open up a tire, it can't get no simpler than a tire shop, because everybody has cars. You see what I'm saying? And so we have to start out small, right, and work to something bigger, because that's what everybody else is doing. So, you know, I just want to encourage for those of you who's listening, to get with me, get with Arlene, get with Brother Tony, that we're, listen, let me tell y'all something right now. I'm not scared of nothing but God. I'm just keeping it 100 with you. And I love black people, and I know a lot of my black people don't care nothing about me because they say, oh, you too radical, Harris. You're speaking to the mayor too strong, and that's why they won't invite you to meetings and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Okay, whatever. The bottom line is black folks is the last hide and the first fire. We don't have no economic development, and I'm talking about on a large scale,
Yes.
Large scale, not small scale. Yeah, we got hair places, do fingernails and all. Right, but I'm talking about...
Even when they use 93706, like was done with TCC, we still get nothing. And they use us as a statistic. There's no excuse for that. So I'm with you on that, on a large scale,
On a large scale.
We should have been spending West Fresno.
Right. We're coming down to the last 5 minutes of our show. And, you know, we're going to get together. All of you know that I'm the pastor of Free AME Ministries over there. We need to be meeting like once a month to come up with an agenda for us, something small, you know, something small that we can get our children involved with. You know, we know Fresno Freedom School. We teach outer culture and all that stuff.
Healthy eating habits, healthy cooking, all of that.
Right.
We
that's
teach
great.
That at Fresno Freedom School. Yes.
That's great. So go through my Facebook. Look at the different things I post. Go ahead and comment if you like. Let me know what you're thinking about. And you know, we'll be, Arlene, go ahead and tell about the, Freedom School this Saturday and we're going to go ahead and close up.
Yes. On, June 24th, we will be having the second installment of, Fresno Freedom School for this summer. And we're hoping that people are going to come out. If you want to register your kids for this Saturday, please give me a call. It's on our flyer. That's on Facebook at 559-470-5172. That's 559-470-5172. And we're hoping that we get enough kids where, you know, we can have a good time. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to do composting and agriculture. I'm sure Rev's going to be excited to teach his class about gardening. And then we're going to have our nutritionist back, Sarah Devitt. And we're going to have Shai Joyce, one of our board members, who has graciously decided to help us with teaching our cooking class, our healthy snack class. So thank you, Shai. So come on
out and bring your
kids.
Thank you. Let me apologize to Brother Tony. He was trying to click in, and I was working his Facebook thing, and I was slideshow, and I wasn't paying attention to what he was typing. So please accept my apology for that, Brother Tony. Come back on Wednesday. 8 o'clock, we'll go for 2 hours on Wednesday. You have all the time you want to talk about. But folks, don't get caught up in the hype, okay? Don't get caught up in wanting to get awards and proclamations. You don't have to be pat on the back. Our ancestors are patting you on the back. You don't have to get an award from the mayor. You don't have to get an award for the city council, award from the governor or the president of the United States. Your ancestors paid the price. Here in America, those who were hung, raped, lynched, murdered, sold on those slave ships that came across the Pacific, the Atlantic to get you here. And so, Brother Tony, I apologize. We're only going for till 9 o'clock, but we got like 2 minutes left, Brother Tony, a minute left.
Not an issue. Look here, my brother. We will talk later. But I'm going to need you to call in on the show tomorrow.
All right. Will do. I got it. That's Brother Tony. Tell us about your show, the name and time, Brother Tony, real quick. We have 45 seconds.
Hey, my show is West Side Visions on Blog Talk Radio. We are a progressive show. We cover everything just like Dr. Harris does. Call in. Join us. People across the nation are doing it. 559. You need to do it too. Time for you to take a stand. Stand up, people. Time for you to get together.
All right, Eileen, we got 20 seconds. Get us out, Eileen.
It's about a mindset, y'all. So stay black until we get back with you.
Brother Tony, give us yours.
Each one, reach one, teach one. Those of you proficient with your arms, take your folks to the range. Get them trained up. Get them learned up. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. Stay black. Take care of your people. Till we holler at you tomorrow.
That's right.
All right. Good night, y'all. Thank you.